Om Shanti. So, any insights, any experiences of your experiments? Anybody want to share? Yes, if you can stand up.
Here we go. So, anyway, I had someone get upset with me that's never ever been upset with me. And I actually have never ever seen her upset. And so I was able to just be saying to myself, I am good. And by saying that, I could stay pretty open to whatever was upsetting her without defending, without arguing, without opposing. So it worked out really well. There's still more to uncover, you know. But I was so grateful to have those three words. Immensely grateful. So it all came at the right time.
As usual, yeah. Can I have a second mic? Yeah. Yeah, anyone else? Yeah, this is a very good example. When somebody gets upset with me and the mind starts, it's so amazing to think that the whole reason it starts is over this question of my worth, my value, my goodness, my lovability, my likability, and that this shortcut, I'm good, saves a lot of problems. It's quite surprising. Mm-hmm. Anyone else want to share any thought, realization, insight? Thank you. Yeah, you want to make it? I think we can get this over here to you.
Just on acceptance, because it's something I like a lot, and so I was quite pleased to hear about it in this forum this morning. That's one thing, and thinking about I am good in the world. Because as you, probably most of you know, I work in mental health, I still work. But in the world there is quite a bit of thought going towards people who think, am I good enough? Am I good enough? Or, you know, am I not good enough? So another thing that was really special for me, because it's affirming that it comes into a spiritual context as well. That was what Sharana was bringing up this morning, both of those things.
Thank you. You know, this acceptance actually can go quite far. Literally, when the mind gets into its thing, you're really just looking at it, saying, oh, really? Okay. If that's what you want to get into, fine. But not me. I'm not. This is acceptance. No arguing with the mind. No trying to correct the mind. This is new. We would have spent decades trying to correct the mind. But this commenting, correcting, criticizing to the mind is as dangerous as it is to another person. Remember my sister and the son. She didn't try to correct or comment or criticize, nothing, just accept. This is something very amazing. It's like an injection of positivity, which is a powerful truth. Oh, is that what you want to do? Okay, fine. But you stay busy cooking up your truth and feeding it. that's the experiment in its purest form. In other words, this new relationship with the mind means no opposing, no arguing, no conflict, no denying, no repressing. As if, you know, at this point I could say, don't fight with your mind. You will never win. Have you noticed this? It's amazing. You will never win. At the best, you'll succeed in suppressing it. But it'll come back with a vengeance later. So this is a totally different tactic. Just accept it. Just like we do with people, we're training ourselves to accept them as they are and not be affected and get on with our business of being a light and cooperating through vibrations. So this is the same relationship we are now creating with the mind. Anyone else? Yes, sister. Are you for our project? So, if we are using it, it would be sometime between 5:30 and 6. Okay, but you're welcome to stay. Yes. Okay? Thank you. Yeah, definitely. Please do. Yeah.
Hello. I'm Sister Rosie from Mexico, and I was remember about acceptance that some years ago, Sister Denise told us to do an exercise, and it helped me a lot about acceptance. Yeah, and you have to think in an animal that you have rejection. Yeah, the rejection is correct. Yeah, and you don't like, maybe you're afraid of him or whatever. And is the horrible animal, can you think? And then everybody think in their animal. And the sister mentioned, okay, then you're going to imagine to your animal is in front of you and you're going to hug your animal. And for some of the sisters, they choose snake, for example, or a bat. Yeah, it's a bat, yeah. And horrible animals, and they have to learn and hug that part of the self, yeah. And I choose a bulldog. Because the face, I don't like the face. And she told us that you have to learn to walk in your life with this animal behind you, yeah? And it was a wonderful experience, and I discovered a lot of things by myself. But the main thing, it was the feeling of accepting me, that part, yeah? Thank you.
It's like, I've heard seniors say this much better than how I recall it, but the idea is we need a lot of experiences of our goodness to confront that part of ourselves. That part of ourselves is real, but it's not true. In that it's been around for 2,500 years, but it's not true. In other words, it's not been around for the full 5,000. And I think that one of the things that helps us relax, even though that animal is there, is increasing experiences, not just of my goodness, but that positivity works. Positivity works. And negativity on any level of any sort doesn't. We need to prove this to ourselves too. So now we've just discovered another level, because we were thinking negativity meant, you know, towards the other or the situation. But now we're saying in a relationship with my own mind. that negativity. It's violence to try and correct it, change it, deny it, ignore it. This is violence, interestingly enough. And we are in training for Om Shanti. That's why this acceptance at this new level, even of my mind, is so empowering. Anything now which can keep us genuinely positive is power. And it also throws me back to something that Dadi Prakashmani used to say. It takes a powerful soul to love. And if we understand that first and foremost, that love has to go to myself, and clearly what we're saying here, it's not first and foremost between him and me. That as the years go by, we'll see that I'm less able to catch that. It's less a reality, this tuning into it, while that negativity towards my own mind, my own self, still exists. So there's a shift as the journey goes. And I have to use this gyan to really clear the relationship between me and me. Anyone else? Any insights or realizations from the afternoon? Positivity works, and positivity is a power. It's like, you know, in the journey, you know, there's this shift. At first it was so like, it was like being was our focus, and we learned to be a soul. And then being together became a focus. My relationship with Baba has to do something in our relationship, in our relationships. But then somehow, it's like we have to go back to being and clear up on deeper levels and become real, you know, real generators, or I should say transmitters of this love from Baba, and any negativity left inside will block that. Yeah. There's a form of acceptance which is just my own state of negativity, etc. That's the point, yeah. Yeah. Means, just like my sister with her son, she did not hook into it. She wasn't ignoring it, but she was busy with something else. Because she had a larger picture of the problem, and she kept herself busy to serve the problem at its root. And we remember the root? The little boy was hungry. This is a motto. He was hungry. And so, therefore, whenever my mind is getting into that, I can tell myself, yes, you're just hungry. But it is the same for others too, by the way. Right? When they get into their thing, they also are just hungry. And hungry for what? So again, you know, we renew our efforts at being that channel of Baba's cooperation. That's really what we're doing. Did you want to say something, sister?
This beautiful mantra, I am good, is like I accept deeply, deeply inside myself, who am I? Because, you know, the subconscious mind was just like, you're still not good enough. You cannot, I think the switch wasn't there. The switch wasn't switched. But with that, because I work on accepting others for so long, but somehow I felt undermining myself. But with that, it was just like, yeah, change. Thank you.
You do understand and believe that you are good, right? there are no questions about that, right? Because the more I've been working on what am I to Baba, which is your homework, the more it's mind-blowing what we are to Baba. Yes, sister.
On that point, I really had a... Sorry. On that point, I really had a strange... Maybe strange, I don't know if you can call it strange. Like, Baba, you need me as much as I need you.
I was sharing with one of the sisters over lunch. She wanted an example. My mind goes poetic on the issue. But one feeling I had recently, because I've been working with this question for a long time, one feeling I had was, I am the screen on which Baba projects all his genius and downloads all the programs for genius in the hopes that I will sit and I will create such a beautiful show so as to reveal him. Indeed, he does need not even us. He needs me. This, we have to start getting this straight. It's such a partnership. If there is any good way of measuring how much I trust that I am good, or as we were saying, how much I love myself, or as we were saying, how much I really, really know myself, it's this. Do I experience this full-out partnership with Baba? You know, this, you know, one, somebody was saying it, I can't remember it, but this equality, literally equality. Baba knows my destiny. He remembers the whole cycle. And all of this Murli, Gyan, Yoga, Dharana, Seva, he's trying to get me to remember who I really am. It's the biggest, you know, in English the expression is wool over our eyes by Maya, that we're not very excited about ourselves. And to think, this is not ego. This is pure pride. Did you ever hear Charlie's definition of depression? Charlie's definition of depression is the mourning the loss of the true self. And I don't really trust a Brahmin who hasn't been depressed. I think it's very common language for us Brahmins, because we're the ones who used to know ourselves, and we really, really suffer the fact that we've forgotten. So once again, that definition, depression, is mourning, comment on dit ça en français? Grieving, yeah. Comment on dit en français, je ne sais pas. Grieving. Quand quelqu'un meurt, il y a une période de une semaine, deux semaines, un mois, qu'il faut des routines ou quelque chose. Ça s'appelle mourning, grieving. Comment? I don't know. Yes. Yeah, so mourning the loss of our true identity. Okay, this would be traffic control coming up. Don't know if we're hearing it or not. Anyway, we can wait. What we're going to do after traffic control is once again do a tour of the gallery. And this time we're looking to see that picture where we feel Baba is reminding me what I am to him. Then we'll take some yoga with that. So another round, and this time you're looking for the picture in which you feel Baba is reminding you what you are to him. Question? No, yeah. And otherwise, the guideline is just silence, and then push chairs away so that you're able to get to the picture, and then set up your chairs as close as you can so that you can really be impacted by the feelings. Okay? Thank you. I'm always combined. That would be the sign. I would be always combined, and there would be this recognition that if I'm not feeling that, it's the illusion that negativity throws up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyone else? Deep security. You can be yourself. Yeah, this thing about one thing on the outside, thing on the inside, does indicate that I'm still not handing myself over to the truth. I'm not trusting it on one level or another. Yes. Brother, did you want to say?
Yes. The feeling of contentment, yeah.
Yeah, freedom, responsibility, contentment. You know, happiness, lightness, no worries. This is the truth, this is the story. What have I got to worry about? You know, like even in today's Murli, what am I to Baba, according to today's Murli? I'm the gardener. He's the master of the garden. He's given me all the tools to change this old world into a garden, God's garden. And the secret magical thing is I just need to start with myself, change myself into a flower, and apparently that'll do the work. So it's this quote that I was sharing before. The old model is, I'll be okay when everything is okay, versus when I'm okay, everything will be okay. This is the power of yes. It's the power of positivity. And if we can trust that, I really believe that that's when you get like these dhatis, so light, so easy. That's the thing, easy. No more overthinking, no more overanalyzing. You know. And the other thing is when we really get that first one, I'm good, interestingly enough, he starts with that. Then how easy it is to see the Father is also so good, and he's with me, and it's his job, not mine. I'm helping him. And the drama is good. And everyone else is good. Though, as if the whole reason this wasn't sticking before, I mean, it wasn't working, was because we were not full out on the first one. There's still that deep subconscious work to do. Yes, sister. Oh, this is, I mean, everybody should, the book should be written about the stories we have on this, actually. So many stories. Yeah, this is like, hello, wake up, this is the confluence age, the cycle's over, you know, you're dead. Okay, so basically. So while we're waiting for Brother Sashinan to make sure that this lovely sister's time has not been wasted, we have a short video for you in terms of what it all comes down to. We mentioned this already, but this last leg, beyond understanding, beyond believing, but living my life accordingly, it's really going to be this one last leg. So let's take a look at it and see if we can enjoy it. And maybe if we could turn off these lights, brother. So how does that relate to our subject, trusting truth? The mastery. The mastery. Do you agree this was a master violinist?
Yes.
So what did you notice about this stage of being the master?
Well,
What?
They owned it.
They owned it.
They enjoyed it.
They enjoyed it. That's right. That's right. What was the relationship with the director?
Precision,
trust, and also appreciation, confidence,
harmony.
Was this director directing in that way? It was such easiness. This is the word. So, are we going to own this truth? Are we going to master this truth? Because I really do believe this is what it looks like. That same easiness, that same lightness, that same love between me and the director. Partnership. Om Shanti. Thank you very much. You've been wonderful participants. And I think our brother Sashin is here, correct?
Yes.
Welcome, brother. Please come. And thank you to our sister for setting this up. It was quite a story. Maybe while we're waiting, anybody would like to share their experience, particularly of this last activity, in terms of what I am to Baba, because we didn't have a chance to share that, or anything you'd like to share about the day so that brother can tune in a little bit.
So about the last one, you know, going to the picture, so I chose that picture and sitting up there, and I got the feeling for Baba, like I am very beloved, like Sikilade, you know, the word Baba uses, you know. Out of multi-million, I know, handful out of multi-million, I'm that one. I'm Baba's right hand, and, you know, I'm the one going to do the service. So that's what the feeling I got, like, you know, I'm really beloved child of Baba.
Just part of the process that we've had today has been to spend several times looking at these very beautiful pictures of early days of the Yajna. And I think some of us have had some very beautiful experiences of the different facets of Brahma Baba, and in different situations and different roles, because I know I've seen all these pictures many times, but they've sort of become a bit visionary today. So it's been really special. Thank you. And that balanced with Sharona's very blissfully intoxicated churnings on this topic, and adding new dimensions to some of the words that we might have encountered quite often, but adding a new dimension to it, 2020 style.
The picture's meaning changed, or Baba had something else to tell you?
So it's been a lovely process, and I remember when you were in Oxford, Sharona, many years ago, we had the same pictures, and it's amazing how, for me, they were like mirrors, and you spoke about the right brain, how in a way you really get to see yourself in a very unlimited way, because you can't really use logic, it's really about the heart and just really looking around and feeling what's Baba telling me through each picture or a specific picture. So for me, in terms of how Baba, what Baba sees in me, or whatever the question was, it was really quite unlimited. It was like opening myself up to accept that. And so one, yes, I'm Baba's right hand, but really feeling that, you know, I'm the one that keeps Baba in my heart. Not that I sit in Baba's heart, but I keep Baba in my heart. So it was just such a beautiful feeling, and it was that picture there with, you know, the love, Baba. Who's the other brother in that picture? Hugging. Who is it? Sorry? His uncle. Okay, so that was a beautiful picture for me. So yeah, so thank you very much for the day.
All right, so very warm welcome. It is the first time I'm meeting our brother in person like this. I've seen you once from a distance on stage, but of course I've also been enjoying your classes. And I have discovered that everybody actually has been enjoying your classes, save for one person only who hasn't yet heard the good news. So our theme is trusting the truth, trusting the truth. And we'd invited questions, but first of all, you're looking at the cream of the crop. These are all center residents. And so not many questions, a feeling that everything can be understood at that deepest level where it becomes my life, in that inner silence. And we've had a lot of inner silence in our day's activity. So not a lot of questions have come in. So brother, I could start by just asking if you could share some of the points or experiences you have regarding trusting the truth.
First of all, thank you, all of you. I always love to interact with those Brahmins who are real effort makers and those who really want to progress very fast. As regards my experiences with truth, first of all, I'll just like to tell you my own short story. Actually, my spiritual life began with truth. I was in my 12th standard exam. I finished the exam. After that, my parents wanted me to become a doctor. And in India, there is one medical college. And it's at Sevagram. Sevagram is the place where Mahatma Gandhi lived. And he had his ashram. So that ashram has got an autonomous medical college. So you have to study four subjects or clear four subjects. Physics, chemistry, biology, and the fourth was Gandhian thoughts. Gandhian thoughts. You have to study Mahatma Gandhi's literature. Gandhian thoughts. Gandhian thoughts. You have to study the literature and you have to clear the exam. If you clear, then only you can get admission in that medical college. So my father brought me books, and one of the books was the story of my experiment with truth. That was the life story of Mahatma Gandhi. The story of my experiment with truth. So my age was 16 year old, about, and I had never interacted with any religion or any spiritual institution till now. The life was just going on, and suddenly this book came in my hand. I was as mischievous as other boys are, and I started reading this book. First day, second day, third day, and fourth day. And I saw whatever author is saying is applicable to my life. The author said, I ate non-veg. The author said, I stole. The author said, I spoke untruth. And I felt, even I have done all these things, even though I had not done any one of these things. But the author said, I have done all these things and I repented for it. And whilst reading this book, I went in silence. I was silent for next 6 months. Total silence. I did not utter one single word for next 6 months. Such a deep silence came upon me. I was lost in the world of silence. Suddenly, a deep realization came, who I am, what I am. And then there was one more book in our house. It was in a very tattered stage. almost pages coming out. And the name of the book was Love of God by Saint Francis de Sales. And I started reading that book and my silence deepened. So these were the two books and I went in silence. My family was shocked. What has happened to this boy? All of a sudden he has stopped speaking. Let us take him to doctor. Why he is not talking? But that was the period of spiritual awakening for me. That was the period that I suddenly realized who I am, what I have to do in life. I had no knowledge of Brahma Kumaris or anything. That came much, much later. But during that silence, I was filled with immense power. I lost interest in this world. And suddenly my result of the 12th standard came. I got extremely good marks, 98% in mathematics groups and 95% in biology group. I could get admission anywhere, any engineering college, any medical college. But I remember that day, I had that book in my hand, Saint Francis de Sales. It was written in the book, the more perfect our patience is, the more perfect we become. The more perfect our patience is, the more perfect we become. And the author was describing his love of God. The author was saying, I am stuck with the arrow of God's love. It is bleeding, my heart is bleeding. It is unhealing wound of God's love. What should I do? And I was filled with immense passion and who is God and how to love God. And my journey began from that point. In fact, it was a journey of search of truth. What is truth? And then everybody was happy in my family. They were enjoying that he has got such a good marks. But I was totally detached. As if this is not me. I have nothing to do with these marks. And then my father took me to another place for the medical admission. And I remember there was a hall where the admission process was going on. So I thought, let me move out. So I went to the hospital, which was just attached to that medical college at Nagpur, Maharashtra. And I saw patients, poor patients. And I started crying. And I decided that if I at all become doctor in my life, I have yet not become, not even got the admission. But that was my resolve. That if I become doctor, I will dedicate my whole life to the service of the poor, the lost, the lowliest, those who don't have anybody. And then my father came and he said, where are you? He took me back. And then I got admission in the medical college. 4.5 years I was in the medical college. Not a single day was there when I did not visit one spiritual institute. There was hardly any spiritual institution, any religious book I did not undergo through. I studied extensively just for one reason, not to become a pandit, but to know the truth. What is truth? What is truth? I was restless all the time in search of truth. Even after this was the first turning point in life. The second was, I finished my MBBS. Everybody went home. I stayed there only in the hostel. And there was a spiritual discourse for 7 days which was going on. I attended that. That was the second period of silence. Again I went in silence. And this silence was very strong silence. And I did not eat anything for 7 days. Just lost in that spiritual intoxication. 3 hours in the morning, 3 hours in the evening. There was a spiritual discourse given by one lady, a sannyasin, and I heard her. That was Ramayana, which was going on. So that was the second. Then my internship started. Again, 1 year. In internship, you have to work in different departments. Ortho, medicine, surgery, gynae, obstetrics. And I was so much filled with passion that each patient is God. Each patient is the worship of man as God. With that passion, 1 year. People used to say he is very sincere. But in fact, it was not my sincerity. Rather, for me, they were the living manifestations of God. So that was the now third turning point. After that, what to do? People said that you do MD post graduation, but I was not interested. I was interested only in service of humankind. That's it. But for this reason, I went to my brother, who was also a doctor. He was in Nagpur doing MBBS. So I stayed in his room to study for the post-graduation exam. And here was the third turning point. I again went in silence. Total silence. Not a single word came out from my lips for next few months. And that was the period of intense restlessness, where I was mad almost. Who is God? What is God? Where is he? How is he? And I started attending all the spiritual discourses, read all the Indian scriptures, all the Upanishads, all the lives of all the great men, Eastern and Western, St. Paul, St. Bernard, St. Francis, St. D.S. Sales, and Indian saints. And the result was, attended hundreds of spiritual discourses. There was one institution, I don't know whether you have heard of or not, Ramakrishna Math and Mission, Vivekananda's. Once I went there, and there some sannyasis were sitting, I sat there and I became bodiless. There was some song going on, they were singing, and I became bodiless and sat there. Next day again the same thing, third day the same thing. But I never spoke a single word with any, I did not speak with any of the sannyasis there. But every day I'm starting getting new experiences, bodilessness and tears in the eyes for love of God. And then in that period of silence, I took the decision that I have to give up this world and become a monk. By the time my MBBS result came, I was a topper in that. But I was detached. I used to love medical knowledge, medical studies, because I wanted to serve patients. But now, everything changed. This third silence made me realize the only goal of life is God realization and nothing else. All else is vanity of vanity, everything is vanity. And I developed intense vairagya, so much so that I did not wanted anything of this world. And I decided I have to become a sannyasin. But where? I made a list of 50 institutions. Brahma Kumaris was the last. Because I was seeing only sisters there. And I would not like to be a visiting person who will come and go. If I go, I will be inside. And I see only sisters. What I will do with them? So I decided I will take initiation in Ramakrishna Math, that ashram. But I never even spoke with those people. And then one day, suddenly I told my brother that I am giving up medical knowledge and everything. He said, "What?" Shocked. "Please don't do this. Go and tell your first parents." So I went back. I came to my house and I told my parents that I am taking sannyas. He said, "What?" They were shocked. About 150 people came to convince me. So many horoscopes were taken out. So many pujas, worships were done. Many people came, all relatives came. To convince me, "Where are you going? Please don't go anywhere. Stay in the world. You will get God here only." So that was the fourth turning point I went now. Intense opposition from everybody, but I had only one thirst, and thirst was for truth. What is truth? What is God? I cannot live without that truth. I was mad. Unless and until I realize that truth, if I don't realize God, I will die. That extent. The whole family and the news spread like anywhere, everywhere, like wildfire. All the relatives started coming. Some of them came with their daughter. She is doing MBBS. You both together. You can do medical practice as well as bhakti. But I wasn't interested in all that. I was so filled with, even I was ready to burn all my medical certificates. So that there is no coming back. You know, there are three rules of life of a sannyasi. The first rule, you can write down this. Cut the bridge. The first rule is, cut the bridge. The second rule is, throw the ladder. And third rule is, drown the boat. What is first rule? First rule is, cut the bridge. Suppose, this is the army is on this side, okay? And in between, there is a chasm, there is a hole, there is a big gap. So, what army people do, they make a bridge and go on the other side. Once they are on the other side, they break the bridge so that they should not run back. There is no coming back. Once you go from that world to this world, once you come from laukik to alaukik, cut the bridge. There is no going back on that side. Cut the bridge. The second is, drown the boat. Suppose from this side you have gone to that side. Once you reach the other side, drown the boat so that there is no coming back. The third rule is, throw the ladder. This is the place and you climbed. Once you reach here, throw the ladder. There is no going down. Cut the bridge, drown the boat, throw the ladder. These are the three rules. There should not be any coming back. Once you have come to Baba or God or to the spiritual life, the world is dead. And for me, the whole world had become dead. I did not want anyone, nothing. I was ready to just go. Take your clothes, take your shoes. I don't want anything of this world. And then they will lock the doors and everything. Suddenly, he is going. And my father took all the certificates and hid it somewhere. So, but inside, I had that intense divine spark. I was restless. I used to say to God, if I don't get you, I will die. My father wrote a letter, 6-page letter to the Prime Minister of India. My son has been hypnotized by this Ramakrishna Math and mission. Please save the helpless father. So many things were done. But I was non-stoppable. Nothing could stop me. I had only one passion, to know the truth. To know the truth. To know the truth. And I will die for it. The same love, Saint Bernard, Saint Francis of Assisi, Saint Francis de Sales, Saint John, Indian Saints Meera and Chaitanya, they were passionate. So this world was no more existing for me. Just that one vision. That one vision. I want him. I want him. Who is he? Who is he? Where is he? I used to roam in the medical campus mad, crying all the night. Where is he? What is he? I want him. You know that in that book how Francis, Saint Francis describes as if Jesus Christ is bridegroom, and he himself is saying, I am bride, I am waiting for my bridegroom, when he will come. So that intense love was there. There was one more book, The Family That Overtook Christ. It's a wonderful book. A family that overtook Christ. There were 7 brothers. First brother became monk, sannyasi. He surrendered himself. Second brother thought, I should also do the same. He surrendered himself. Third brother surrendered. Fourth, fifth, sixth. And then there was the youngest. His name was Ninad. So they said, you take care of the family property, land and everything. We are going. So that small boy says, you took the heaven and give me the land, I am also coming. That book is known as Saint Bernard of Clairvaux. So they gave up everything for God. Nothing, nothing we want of this world. My kingdom is not of this world, Bible says. So I was filled with that intense passion to know the truth, to realize God. And there was intense opposition from all sides. Not a single person came and told me that you are right. They all came and tried to convince me, please don't do this, please don't do this, please don't do this. But I was really in that intense phase. I took my father to that ashram, he did not listen. I took him to Pune, he did not listen. I took him to Mumbai, and there we had a fight. I said, I will not go from here. My father said, I will take you from here. And then he said, he said to the ashram people, he has got bank loan. Who will pay? Your institution for MBBS. So I said, okay. There was one man there, one sannyasi. He said, why are you so restless? If you have real passion for truth, if you are vairag, your disinterest is real, this will not go. This is an acid test of vairagya for you. Stop. Give them their money and then come to us. So my father immediately took the order of medical officer and I joined at one place as a doctor in small village. Every month whatever salary I got, I gave it to the bank. In 6 months my loan was done. Again I was ready. And there was crying, all things going on. My mother said that if you take sannyas, I will jump in the well. I said, go and jump right now. Go. Immediately go and jump. They were not understanding only what was my inner stage. They said that this never happened in our whole family tree. Nobody took such a did. Nobody ever did such a thing. But I was so restless, so restless, so restless and mad. Nothing I wanted. Nothing means nothing. Just, oh Lord, where are you? What are you? This body, and even cut the hair, everything. And then, again I was ready. Then again I went to, there are stories big to cut short. I came back home. My sister was attached to Brahma Kumari. She was also a doctor. She's right now at one place. And there was an intense opposition to her. When she came in Gyan, she stopped eating from my mother's hand, or the food which is prepared at home. So there was opposition. So my father threw this Shiva Baba's light and burnt all the books of Brahma Kumaris. So she was going to center in a very, very hidden manner. So she said to me, you're going. It was finalized. I am going and joining Chennai. There's a big ashram there, just as we have Shantivan. The Ramakrishna Math also has got the same ashram, big, huge campus. She said, go via Mount Abu. You are going? I said, yes. But I told her, I don't follow any one of your Brahma Kumari's rules. Because I know some of the rules. But I had a respect, too much respect for all the sisters. In fact, I had love for intense purity. So whenever I used to see sisters in white, I used to like that scene. So, my sister said, okay, doesn't matter. Even if you don't follow rule, our center people do not have that much disinterest as you have. They are lost in Brahma Bhojan and other things. They don't have such disinterest as you. But she said, remember, if they ask you how long you have been in Gyan, say 1 year. I said, I am not going to do that. My basis is Satya and Ahimsa, truth and non-violence. That's what Mahatma Gandhi. From there, my spiritual birth has taken place. She said, please, please, please. So I went to the center and all the senior sisters were sitting. So my sisters, this was year 2003. So I was sitting there, inside fired with love of God and vairag. And no smile on my face ever. many times it happened, I fainted whilst attending discourses, spiritual discourses, with that love of Krishna, 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 Krishna. You have heard of ISKCON? Hare Krishna? There is hardly any institution where I did not go. ISKCON, Art of Living, Chinmay Mission, Ramakrishna Mission, Yoga the Satsang Society, Divine Life Society, Mata Amritanandamayi, all Anandamark, Sahaj Mark, Kundalini, Nirmala Devi, and everywhere. All institutions. So, the senior sister who was there, Pushparani Didi, in charge of Nagpur, she asked me, how long you have been in Gyan? I said, 1 year. Then she said to me, which center you go? My sister did not tell me only, which center to tell. I said, that Amravati, where my house was there. So she immediately called up that Amravati sister. So that Amravati sister, Sita Didi, said, Neelam used to come, her brother never came. So I said, I had gone to that center where I was a medical officer, that small village, once or twice. So she said, okay, now what to do? But our reservation is done. How will you go? Baba is coming on 30th November 2003 and this was 24th. I said in my inside mind, I don't need any reservation. I have traveled in common boogie in train in search of God. Delhi, Chennai, Kolkata and Mumbai throughout the India. Sitting there with a newspaper. Such passion to know what is truth, what is truth, what is truth. So those sisters said, okay, go. So next day, I sat in the train, in the common boogie, general compartment. All the party was in the reservation compartment and the sister who was in charge, she was told there is one doctor sitting there inside. He is also going. And I started to meet Baba. Inside, I was thinking, I have to read Bhagavad Gita, 5th chapter of somebody. I have to read Upanishad. I have to read Bhagavata, 7th chapter. So many things are pending because I have to give up this world. I don't want anything of this world. There is one statement by Swami Vivekananda. What he said, you know? There was an ashram where all those sannyasis used to stay. There was one brother, sannyasi. He used to go to his laukik again and again. So what Vivekananda said, I don't want ambiguous type of personalities who are half monks and half householders out from here. Stay on that side or come on this side. So, I sat in the train and started. I did not know where I am going. I did not know what I am going for. But my plan was first to go there and from Mount Abu, go to Puttaparthi, meet Satya Sai Baba. There is one person. And then finally go to Chennai and take sannyas. I reached Shantivan, gate number 2. Got down from the bus. And the moment I got down, I felt I have seen this place. Deja vu. I have seen this place. Where? I don't know. Never I had seen. But I have seen this place. I have seen this place. I have seen this place. I felt as if I know this is a way going there. And there is probably some dome-like structure there. There is some tapasyadham. I knew there must be some hall there. And I did not know anybody. Nobody knew me. I was just walking. And there was a hall. And I started recalling few things. I did not know from where. But I was very strong-minded. I said, I am not going to get hypnotized. I will not get hypnotized by Brahma Kumaris. I have to go. My aim is to give up this world. My aim is only to realize God and nothing else. I don't want anything. I hate marriages. I hate this world. I hate everything of this world. I don't want anything of this world. I just want only one and He is God. That's it. Unless and until I realize Him, I am not going to stop. That night I slept. I saw Lakshmi Narayana, that standing in my dream, and they were live. Next day I got up. And I had to do mantra, japa and so many things. So those four people were there in the room. I was waiting when they go out. So when they out, they went out at 7 o'clock for Murli. And then I felt okay. I started doing my japa, telling the beads. But I forgot all the mantras, which I was doing regularly. I said, what is happening? I didn't understand. And the whole day I was roaming everywhere in Shantivan. Where to go? Where that party? I don't know where is that party. Nobody knew me. Nobody. I did not know anybody. I was madly walking here, there, going everywhere. Where to go? Whom to meet? What to do? And then suddenly at 7:30, the traffic control song was there. And I heard that song, Shiv ki yaad rahegi tab aankhon mein samaya wo hoga, hum dhanya tabhi ban payenge jab aisa priya jeevan hoga. I heard that song and I felt, I have heard this song thousands of times. Never I had heard. But actually something was happening and I said, what is this happening to all people? Why they all stood stand still? Are they angels? Are they have gone in samadhi? Like Sri Ramakrishna or Saint Francis? What are they? And then the Baba Milan Day, 30th November 2003. I was told the gates would open at 3 o'clock. So I did not know what is going to happen and I sat there at 3 o'clock, 3:30. And I kept sitting there from 3:30 till 11 o'clock. And I was crying. On that stage of Diamond Hall, I saw Jesus Christ, Muhammad, I saw Guru Nanak, I saw Shankaracharya, I saw Meera, I saw Saint Francis, Saint John, Saint Bernard, everybody were moving on that stage. And I was crying and crying and crying and crying. 9 months I was struggling all alone. The whole world was on one side, I was on one side. And I was crying and crying and crying and crying. I did not know what is there. My sister said something would be played in Hindi. Some Murli would be there. I did not know. I was hearing shlokas of Gita in Sanskrit. And I was crying and I was crying and I was crying. As if some thirst which was within was getting quenched. I did not know who was there on the stage. But I saw only one thing. There was a light. And that light was telling me, the one whom you are searching, I am that. The one whom you are searching, I am that. So, and then the brothers came and they were taking care of the chairs. Baba had gone. And they said, Baba has gone. What are you doing? I was trying to hide myself because I was crying. And I remembered what I had spoken to my father. I told him once, please don't stop me. If only God comes and He stops me, then only I will stop. Otherwise, I am not going to stop. Even I remember I had taken one iron rod in my hand. If anybody comes in my path, I will kill that man. Go away, all of you. Such passion, such intensity of that vairagya. Nothing of this world, nothing means nothing. I don't want this world at all. I want total silence, nothing else. In total solitude, I will spend my whole life in meditation. And I used to see mountains from my childhood in my dreams. And when I was climbing Mount Abu next day, the sister said, let us go for sightseeing. I was not interested in any sightseeing. And as I was climbing Mount Abu, I was seeing those mountains and I was started recalling, these are the mountains I have seen from my childhood. As if I am sitting there in tapasya, amidst those mountains, and then they started taking me Gyan Sarovar, Pandavan, then they took me in front of the hospital. Sister said, this is Global Hospital. I remembered I am a doctor. And I said, who is the in charge? I straight inside went. They said, bus will wait only for 5 minutes. Come fast. So I went inside, searched, and went straight to the room of Dr. Pratap. I said, I want to join this hospital. He said, who are you? Which center? I did not have any center. What should I tell him? He said, do you have letter? I said, I don't have letter. He said, okay. But I said, I will bring. So I came down. I went back home. And at home, I announced sannyas cancelled. They were happy.
But I told them I'm going to global hospital. My mother said, please go, because I can't see you in the sannyasi clothes. At least you will remain in the clothes of doctor. So this is how I joined in 2003. And first day, I'll tell you, my first day when I came, I did not know where I'm going, what I'm going, where I'm going to stay. I had one polythene carry bag, one cloth, and I had come in jeans and t-shirt, and Baba Milan Day, I have purchased white, and I'm wearing the white still from that day. Never went back to any colors. So I came, and I asked people, do you have Murli here? They said, this is headquarters. From here the Murli goes all over the world. I asked them, what time you go to Pandavan? They said, 3:30. I started going with them. Then they asked, then I understood there are some people who go at 3 o'clock. I started going with them. Then I heard some people reach Pandavan by 2 o'clock. They start at 1:30. I started at 1:30. So much intoxication that I have achieved God. So much intoxication I just can't explain. And the very first day of my first day in Om Shanti Bhavan, I just sat in front. Dadi Prakashmani came and started reading Murli. She said, sweet children, just forget everything that you have read till now. That was the first line in the Murli. I felt, who she is talking with? To me. And then, first day in the hospital, Ramnath Bhaiji, you know, Brother Ramnath, senior brother, he got admitted in the hospital for breathlessness, and Dadi Janki came to see him. And I was just standing. I did not know who is this Dadi Janki or anybody. I was just standing, and Dr. Pratap said, this is our new doctor. So Dadi said, saw like this. And she kept hand here. And she said to me, this is real Raj Rishi. That was my first day. She said, this is pakka pakka Raj Rishi. And then I got to know who is this lady. And so I was here in the hospital, and so much intoxication. I used to sit in Baba's room from 2 o'clock. And so much light used to come from Baba. I was just, stop. I have to say, stop this. Too much. I don't want this much light. Total bodilessness. Every day. But one thing was, I came late. This was the first feeling in my mind. It's too late. Now what to do? So, I purchased all the Avyakta Murlis from 1969 till 2003. Because I have got late. I took late admissions. I have to cover up everything now. And my period of intense effort started from that very day. Then in between people told me, again you go and do post-graduation. In between I gave up that government seat of MD. For this all reasons. Again I got, so again I went back. 5 years I was there in Mumbai. And came back in 2010. 10th October 2010. From 2010 till now, I am in the global hospital, completing 10 years now. And this whole journey of 16 years has been wonderful. I will say, this entire thing was search of truth that ultimately brought me here. As I said, I went to each and every institution of this world, almost every, so that I should not feel that I have missed something. Voracious reading I used to do. But since I came to Baba, everything has become spiritual. Means like that all search stopped. Now the only search, now the only desire is for completion, perfection. And with that desire, whatever hospital work is there, looking after patients, even that was my passion, as I said, to care for patients, to see patients, to love them. But along with them, now another thing which is added is intense effort. So my day starts at 1:45 in the morning, reach Pandavan by 2:15, sit there at different places till 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock we have a class from 5 to 5:30 English, and 5:30 to 6:15 Hindi class. And then after that, I go out. I love nature too much. and I spend at least 2 to 3 hours every day in silence, in company of nature, churning knowledge, trying to understand every point of knowledge, each and every point, listening classes of senior brothers and sisters. And so this is like that. So if you have any question, you can ask. I just give a short background.
No, I think it's a very fitting end to our day. It's very beautiful, very, very touching. Yes. Does anybody have a question they would like to put to our brother?
Anything good?
All questions answered.
All questions answered in this story, yeah.
Here.
What challenges you is the question, yeah.
Since I am a doctor and a medicine doctor, and in Global Hospital, our department is the busiest. Every day I see almost 50 to 60 patients. I am 24 hours on call. Sometimes whole night patients come. All emergencies come, all dialysis, all ward patients, OPD patients, all branches, everything. My greatest challenge is to keep calm when there are emergencies. Not to get irritated, even if, because patients, they come with, you know, some negative energy. They are unhappy, they have gone to 100 hospitals, and probably they are exploited at many places. And then sometimes they come with that negative energy. So you have to maintain your patience, calmness, and soul conscious stage. What is my stage? I feel that if I am seeing the first patient and the last patient, I should be the same. In between there are 70 patients, and they will come to you with irritating questions. There was one double foreigner who came to me, and she narrated her complaints. I was writing, and I was asking in detail everything. And at the end of 20 minutes, she said, "I don't believe in allopathy. Are you allopathy doctor?" I said, "Yes." "Then what are you doing here? From last 20 minutes, go to another department." So I get all sorts of patients. So to keep calm, to maintain silence, and as I said, this morning time fills me with power. And again the evening, once I finish my OPD in the 5 o'clock, today I came here, otherwise this is my time for silence. I don't speak with anybody after 5 o'clock. Unless and until somebody calls up, and some important call, some people, many people, BKs, keep on calling. Otherwise, I prefer not to speak. Because silence had been my strength. I love to stay in silence, deep silence, without speaking anything, and in solitude. You know these mountains? I have spent hours together on these mountains of Mount Abu. My Sunday, when I have a holiday, I go at around 10 o'clock and come back by 3:30 or 4, churning Sunday's Murli. 8 hours, sometimes 6 hours, sitting in nature, listening, chirpings of birds, water, some streams, trees. And I love to be there, and this fills me with power, and that helps me to maintain silence in my extremely hectic schedule. Because, you know, patients, they don't come with invitation. They come anytime, and anything happens to them. Suddenly somebody will collapse, put on ventilator, put procedures, lines, tubes, drains, talking with relatives, anxious relatives. And since Mount Abu is a tourist place, so any patient who comes in emergency, he is accompanied by 40 people who are tourists, and they want to go next day, and I have to convince them that the patient has got heart attack, he can't go. So tough situations, many times very tough situations every day. So handling emergencies, seeing OPD, and still to maintain soul consciousness, one, soul conscious vision, and inside silence, plus every day I have to prepare one topic for class. So I have to take out time for that also. I must be speaking almost 70 minutes every day. 30 minutes in Hindi, rest of the time in Hindi. So every day new topic, new churning point, along with hospital work, seva. So sometimes this becomes challenging for me. But I will share one experience which reinforced my faith in silence, in truth. You know, if any emergency comes, how fast you have to act. Take this, take that, bring this. Apply oxygen mask, apply ambu, apply, do chest compressions. When emergency, there is a team leader. Okay? One medical doctor, which I am. And I have all the staff and junior doctors. So you have to shout, you have to say, bring this, bring that, do this, do this. Patient is dying. I remember once I was sitting in Baba's kutia, hut. It was 3 o'clock in the morning. I was sitting since 2 o'clock. And I received a message from duty doctor. There is an emergency, tourist has come. He is collapsing. His saturation is dropping. So I said, please go and intubate the patient and put on ventilator. But the duty doctor, junior doctor said, sir, please come. It is a difficult intubation. And I was in the bodiless stage. Lost in Baba's love, and I was feeling I should not go. But still, when duty calls, you have to give up everything. So I went. And patient was really bad. But for 40 minutes I was in ICU. With total silence, I managed that emergency for the first time. In silence. Not speaking much. Intubating, putting lines. I came out and I talked with the relatives. They were extremely anxious. They said, how is my patient? Our patient. I said, he is stable now. He's out of danger. But he is on ventilator. And I went back and began my yoga again in Baba's room. In Pandavavan. By that time, all Brahmins, they get up and they come. So after that class and Murli and everything, and I forgot about that patient, means momentary. And then I went for the round, and all the relatives came and they were saying, oh, Dr. Sahab, you saved our patient's life, and many things they were saying. I went inside, I saw that patient was awake, on ventilator, doing well. 2 days, he was extubated, sent to ward, and discharged after 4 days. So, this was an emergency that required too much calling, shouting and all those things, otherwise. But here, the same emergency I managed with total silence. And I felt even this can be done. And as if I was feeling I am soul linked with Baba, Baba's rays are coming upon here, upon me, and I am managing this patient, and all the rays from me are going to this patient. All the rays from my hand are going to that patient. So that was, sometimes this becomes challenging. You know, when suppose a bus collapses or turns topsy-turvy, so mass emergencies come. 20 patients at one time. Somebody's fracture, this. That time to manage is sometimes a challenge. But then, as I said, I try to maintain that silence within, link with Baba, and giving Sakash.
I just really can't think of a more fitting encounter to finish our day. Other than, it's 7 o'clock, brother, would you agree to sit here for meditation? And you can conduct the meditation?
Okay.
Yeah, that would be wonderful. Thank you so much, and maybe a beautiful, beautiful wave from the heart to our brother. He gave up his silence for us. That's very powerful. We are an emergency. A double foreigner.
Just sit alert. Relax. Both feet relax. Silence. sitting in the middle of the forehead. I am the spark of luminosity. A point of light. Let me feel myself. Who really am I? A traveler in the journey of consciousness. What I am? Do I really know myself? I see my own Brahmin life. From that point, when I came to Baba, I see a white screen in front of me. And on that screen, I see the different journeys that I have undertaken in this Brahmin life. The first, the journey of purity. Am I becoming pure every day? Is my energy 100% pure throughout the day? Last so many years, what was the depth of my purity? What was the depth of my chastity? Silently sitting in the cave of introversion, I visualize my journey, the journey of purity. Next, I see my journey of love for God. The love divine. How much do I love him? Is my love increasing every day? How was my love for Baba when I came to him? And throughout these many years, has this love gave me deeper experiences? Or am I still getting only superficial glimpses of that super sensuous love? The journey of divine love . How many times Baba helped me? How many times he was my only support? What all things he has given me? How much should I love him? Love him above all. I don't want anything of this world. Baba, I just need you and nothing else. Your love is my only support. Cleft of ages, rock for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Baba, hide me in yourself. Now I see the journey of my jnana, the journey of knowledge. What is my understanding of jnana? Is it waning or waxing? Have I really understood Baba's jnana? What pearls, what jewels are hidden in the depth of this ocean? Or I have just scratched the surface of Baba's jnana? I see my journey of jnana, those earlier days, and now. Have I become spiritually mature? Now I see the journey of my yoga. When I came to Baba and now. What newness, what deeper experiences do I feel every day? What deeper experiences are still awaiting? Do I get lost in Baba's love every time I sit in yoga? Is yoga still an act of doing for me? Or it has become an act of being? Now I see the journey of my seva. From the time I came to Baba, what is the nature of my seva? Am I really doing anything? Do I have the feeling of being an instrument all the time? Or do I suffer from the disease of I have done this, I am doing this? Is this Brahmin family happy with my seva? What about my seniors, my companions, my juniors? Am I obstacle free in my service? Let me stop, see, churn, ponder. Journey of my life at the center. How are my relationships here? What I do from morning till night? Sitting here in Baba's home, sitting here in Madhavan as a detached observer, I see my life at the center. What struggles, what challenges, what situations usually come to me? What is my latest Maya? On this white screen, picture. How do I interact with others? How is my nature? What are the times when I get irritated? Self-analysis. Now I see another journey, the journey of physical illnesses, diseases. How was I when I got some physical illness? Probably when I was hospitalized, got some severe pain, high grade fever, or some infection. To what extent I was linked with Baba. Was I soul conscious during those periods of illnesses? Or body was pulling me? I see my entire journey. How many times I fell sick? And why? Now, I see the journey of my diet, my food. Do I prepare food in Baba's remembrance all the time? How do I eat? Is it in silence? What do I eat? Do I feel tempted? Am I eating for living or living for eating? How much self-control I have? Let food be thy medicine, or else medicine will be thy food. The journey of my mood. Do I remain in ever happy mood all the time? Or I have periods of depression, melancholia? Am I enthusiastic all the time? Do I just love everything I do? Am I as passionate about life as a musician, as a singer is about his song, as a gardener is about his flowers? Is this Brahmin life? A celebration for me? Am I enjoying this life? Thank you. dropping this body here, assuming the angelic form, I move up away from the five elements in the subtle world. I see Bhavdada in front of me. Baba, are you happy with my thoughts, my words, my deeds, my behavior, my seva? My drishti, my vritti. How much true I am to my own self. What honesty is within me. Baba, just silence. Silent chit-chatting with Baba. The wordless speech, the chantless chant, speechless silence. Taking Baba's drishti, his power, his immense love, I come down. Back into this body, I am an angel of light, radiating love, peace, purity. My life is the life of celebration, joy, enjoyment, spiritual pleasure. I am the most fortunate soul on this planet Earth. And with this awareness, Let me begin a new life again. Let me begin the new effort, the new awakening within. Let me embark upon a new journey where everything would be new. New effort, new journey, new relationships, new gyan, new yoga, new practice, new experiences, new seva, new perspective, everything new. With this newness, I begin a new life. Baba, thanks for everything. Om Shanti.